In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Beatitudes are well known even by secularists, yet they are grossly misunderstood. Most everyone understands them as a law, what a Christian are to do. But throughout the first four chapters, Matthew has taught us that Christ is the fulfillment of Scriptures. He continues that same thread here. So the Beatitudes are descriptions of Christ. He is the Blessed One. The rest of Matthew then reveals how Jesus is blessed by the Father. Or to put it simply, the Beatitudes relate to Jesus' death and resurrection. But once we see that they describe Christ, then we will also see they describe those who are in Christ. The first Beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Many want to say, because you are poor in spirit, you are blessed, as if you earned it. Work righteousness is our default religion, but that is wrong. Blessedness is not what you do or earn, but it's what you are. It's a state of being. It's one who has received divine approval. Jesus is the Blessed One. He has the approval of his Father, for he was sent from heaven to bring God's will to earth. He was poor in spirit. This is something other than economic deprivation. Rather, it was his attitude toward God and man. Though he was God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He made himself nothing. Honor, glory, and dominion was his divine right. But he did not make use of his divine rights, not even to provide comfort for himself. His heart then reflected his economic status. Even the lowliest of creatures has a home. But God had no place to lay his head. His clothes were divided and gambled for. Though he was rich, he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. His attitude was that of a servant. He forced no one to honor him, no one to worship him. He allowed himself to be rejected. He refused to assert himself, though he was their creator. He did not consider it below him to take on our weaknesses, our diseases, and to bear the sins of the world so that we might be saved. Through it all, he did not feel sorry for himself as if somehow he deserved better, but he considered himself a worm and not a man. So he asserts himself neither before man or God. His is the kingdom, for by his death he established that kingdom. The kingdom is not defined by borders or landmarks, but it is the work of God for your salvation. So the kingdom of heaven is not restricted to heaven, but it is among those who believe, because Christ is among you. Where Christ is, there is the kingdom. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the crowds on Palm Sunday sang, and we now echo. He willingly deprived himself of honor and was lifted up from the grave by God and seated by God on the throne of his kingdom. Now remember, because this is about Christ, it is also about you who are in Christ. He unites himself to you and lives his life through you. Your sanctification is rooted in him, so you are blessed by God. Remember, this is not something that you earn, but what you are. You have received divine approval. You have been baptized into Christ. You've been given the mind of Christ, so your attitude is the same as that of Christ. You do not consider yourself higher than you ought. Your status does not define you, but you confess that you are beggars with nothing to give and everything to receive. You make no claim on heaven and expect no reward from God. We have only done our duty. You assert yourself neither before God or men, for you confess that you are servants of all, even as Christ was servant of all. Among those who confess their unrighteousness before God, among those who are poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven has come. They believe they are sinners, and they believe God is gracious. The more we understand his kingdom, the more we will see it is filled with little Christs, that is, Christians, who are poor in spirit, and yes, sometimes poor economically. Christ did not come to rule politically. Christ did not come to give us status and respect and honor among men, but he came to rule in our hearts through word and sacrament. The second Beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Do you see Christ lamenting over Jerusalem? His life was marked by sorrow and tears. How many times did he look up to heaven and sigh over his broken creation? How many times did he cry? Sin and suffering and death pained him. It was extremely emotional for the holy God to walk among his people and to see what they have done to themselves and how they want to persist in their sins. He longed to gather them together, but they were not willing. But at his resurrection, he was comforted, for there he gained a people for himself. The Jews turned from him, but the Gentiles have put their hope in him. Our blessedness leads us to mourn. Christ's life is reflected in ours. Sin pains us. The sin we see in ourselves and in others, diseases and hunger and suffering and death, fill our eyes with tears. The more we are like Jesus, the more we see this fallen state of man and of this world. We have done this to ourselves. Our envy leads to destruction. Our jealousy and arguing leads only to our death. In an effort to make this world a better place, we have inadvertently destroyed creation, livelihoods, and ourselves. How many products have been marketed that promote a good and better life, and yet had to be recalled because of some side effects? Jesus continues to weep through our tears. The more we understand the scriptures, the more we will see the world for what it truly is, and the more we will see the suffering servant preaching the good news of salvation. He removes every disease. He takes away sin. He raises the dead. Note the tense of the verbs. The first beatitude is a present tense. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The second is a future tense. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Right now we live in heaven's kingdom. It is ours by grace through faith, because the King himself dwells among us, working all things for our salvation. And while we do have the comfort of his word, his forgiveness, his gracious presence among us, we do not always feel that comfort in our hearts. The enjoyment of that is in the future. So as Christ mourned before his death and resurrection, so too will we mourn. As Christ was comforted after his resurrection, so we too will be comforted after ours. For then he shall wipe away every tear from our eyes. Until then, we live in a state of blessedness, because we live in Christ, who is the Blessed One. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.